my pot smoking mother finally had had enough and begged me to try this because she just couldn't take watching me go through this. She went out and found it for me and I smoked it and immediately felt relief.
This is the Canna Mom Show, a podcast chronicling the inspiring stories of real women in the emerging cannabis industry. Your host, Joyce Gerber, mom, lawyer, political activist, has been speaking with women from coast to coast and around the world who are leaders in the revolution of cannabis and caregiving. Continuing on her mission to lift up the stories of the women creating the cannabis industry by sharing their canna stories with you. So go make yourself a cup of tea or roll yourself a joint, sit back, and learn something new about this magical plant on The Canna Mom Show with Joyce Gerber.
From the Tip O'Neill Studios in North Cambridge, Massachusetts, it's The Canna Mom Show. Now here's your host, Joyce Gerber.
Welcome back to The Canna Mom Show, where we continue on our mission of crushing cannabis stigma. All right, so Dave, last week was NECAN.
How was it?
Awesome. And our Mission Mint giveaway, I don't know if people have seen these. I've been trying to give these away all year. They're very cute. It's a little tin of mints. I had four boxes of them left. So we had Mission Mint giveaway at NECAN, and it was a great success.
Very smart. You always need a mint.
Yep.
Sometimes after smoking a pre-roll, you need a mint.
It's very Jewish canna mommy of me. So I made a basket in the bathrooms for the men and the women. I put the mints. Of course, I had to do the canna mom thing. I did the hemp guitar because they're still doing the giveaway. Mm-hmm. And I added the little, remember this? I made the scarf I made after the amazing. So I put this in there. The men's bathroom, they took it. The women's bathroom, they left it.
I'm not going to do any follow-up questions on why you were spending so much time in the men's room, but I trust you. So
no, I actually had to like rally in some of my male friends to put it in there. Mm. I was like standing outside the bathroom going, will you do this for me? Will you do this for me?
That's totally normal.
It was a cannabis show, Dave. It was a cannabis
show. I know. I'm sure it was fine.
Anyway, I think it was a good swag giveaway. So if you happen to be someone listening and you picked up one of my mints, enjoy and please enter for the Canna Mom giveaway. All right. So let's see. It's almost April. We have so much going on, Dave. Mm. In addition to the hemp guitar campaign, I am heading down to Washington, D.C. for the 420 Day of Unity, where I will be hanging with my friend Dori Wiley of Half-Baked Housewives from Texas. And she was able to get us a time to meet with her Texas senator to talk about hemp and cannabis.
Wow. Come on.
We're going to be not Cruz, Senator John Cornyn. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Cool. The Canna Mom goes to Washington. What is the Day of Unity? Is there like a march of some sort or what is it?
It's literally a lobby day. I say cannabis touches everything from criminal justice to cosmetics. And there's not that many things that we can all agree on. But one of the things that we do agree on is it should not be on the Controlled Substance Act. So it's a pretty broad coalition. My hempiest farmers, my voodoo goddesses up in Vermont, they're all coming down because I don't understand why this isn't the most patriotic thing. This is American made. This should be like old school Republican values, don't you think?
Yeah. They got to listen. I will bet you that there's not a coalition from the crystal meth community or the heroin community going down.
Who are as lovely and fascinating as me and Dory. And okay, so we're doing that. We're doing the hemp guitar. And this week we are holding an Instagram raffle for a ticket to an infused dinner offered by friend of the show, Chef Nick E. of the Herbal Creative Kitchen. So the dinner will be held in Newton, Massachusetts on Friday, April 19th. So you got to be local. But it is his third annual Waldo's Caribbean 420, a local sourced multi-course infused dinner inspired by the island flavors to celebrate our favorite high holiday. Got that high holiday. 420.
Can't have high holidays without high.
Okay, so I will be there. So if you want a chance to win, go to our Instagram page, do the like, follow. Everyone knows what to do. And the winner will be announced sometime, I think, the second week in April.
Mm. L'chaim. Right. L'chaim. You can't say L'chaim without saying hi also, but
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I did do my weeds and Jews and Weed group, too, at NECAN. That was fun. All right. So just because I have so much going on, we will not be recording live shows or new shows in April, but Dave and I will be live at the Good Dispensary in Somerville, Mass. On Saturday, 4:20 for the hemp guitar giveaway. I am literally heading down to Nashville tomorrow to pick up the hemp guitar and bring it back to Massachusetts so we can show it off at the goods.
Do you have like an armored guard accompanying you with the hemp guitar? Men wearing white gloves, I picture. No, just you. Okay.
It's going to be good. It's like a little Instagram. Just me slowly walking through and they'll be like, you can, what is it? You can smoke it. What is this?
smoke it, right, you can play it.
Smoke it, you can play it. I did get some good feedback at the NECAN. People were like, really? They thought I was joking. And I showed them the card, that I showed them the video. So it's for real. You can smoke it, you can play it.
And it's reusable.
Yeah, it's so funny. All right. So since I'm not doing live show, new shows, if you want to see the guitar in person, or if you want to meet Dave, everyone wants to meet Dave, or if you just miss us, come on down. We'd love to see you at the Goods Dispensary on Saturday, 4:20 in the afternoon. It's going to be fun, right?
Very cool. Can't wait to see my old buddy Mark Fireman there as well.
It's going to be a big day. All right. Hopefully we'll have good weather too, because Massachusetts, man, I don't know what's going on. So we have a really big show today. In addition to our guests, multiple guests, we have a special segment guest, Jenna Goldring, founder of The High Confectionery in New York. She has a low-dose delicious gummy that we will learn more about a little later. So that's it. Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Let's get on with the guest. Okay, today we're talking with one of the owners of Calm Canna, a family-owned Boston recreational cannabis dispensary that's more than just a store. It's a legacy. The husband and wife team that brought Calm Canna to life met romantically in Florence, Italy, and then returned to Boston to create a boutique on the very fashionable Newbury Street. Flash forward, they now have two grown sons, and they are all working together, building their vision and experiencing cannabis entrepreneurship. We also have two women who work at Calm Canna who we invited here to talk about their work, but also to open up a discussion on a topic we could talk about a bit, cannabis consumption during and after pregnancy, and the shame that continues to persist and how we are going to fix it. Please welcome to the Canna Mom Show, Francie Hawk, Natalie Mitchell, and Christine Coates. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Let's just do a quick intro. Just give me your name and your favorite way to consume. Let's start with Francie.
I love brownies.
That's a good one.
And also Dream Drops.
Okay. All right, Christine.
My favorite way to consume is just flower right out of the bong. Just do one hit out of the bong, and that's usually kept me.
All right.
My name's Natalie. I was a flower child for the longest time, but I would say these days I mostly do concentrates.
Yeah, there's a lot more concentrates with moms, I've noticed. All right.
Yes.
They're clean, they're easy.
The smell.
There's so many things. All right, let's start with Francie. There's a big story behind this, but we want to talk about the parenting and cannabis. So let's just start with, how did your boys and your husband, how did you transition from fine Italian goods to cannabis in 5 minutes or less?
Could you repeat that, please?
How did you and your boys and your husband transition from fine Italian goods to cannabis?
It was over a long period of time. After we did the leather store, my husband opened Toscano on Charles Street, and I raised two small children. As the possibility of having a cannabis store hit the horizon, I had a large tanning salon at our present location. I had a 25-year lease. We talked about turning it back in, and the boys decided that they wanted to do cannabis. Okay. And all I could think of was retiring.
And there you are.
And what was
your relationship with cannabis when you, so they said this, hey, mom, I think your tanning salon would be a great cannabis store. Were you like, that's crazy? Or were you like, that's a great idea, boys? Where were you on the spectrum?
I said, no.
Okay.
I was the one person that said no. And that was because it was my space and I'd had it for 25 years and I wanted to retire. And I got voted down. So we jumped in. The space is 3,000 square feet. It's on the second floor. And I knew it wasn't going to be a problem because when I was a tanning salon, I had 500 pairs of little feet going up those stairs every day. So I knew that it was possible, but it's difficult to get people to come up the stairs. Once you get there, the positive is, one of the most positive things is you have a beautiful view. by law, cannabis cannot be seen from the street.
Oh, that's very interesting. So I've been to your dispensary, and that is very unique. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah.
Oh,
so
the light is exquisite, and you really value it because you don't. You're in a dark hole.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
Always overlit. It's always harsh. This people actually gasp.
That's so funny. That is such an interesting quirk. I hadn't even picked on them in this industry. All right. So your family decided this is a good idea. They decided to use their space. And I know it's a long, complicated story to get any kind of dispensary, but it's in Brookline, Massachusetts, which is in a very at the kind of an intersection of where a lot of the universities are. It's on public transportation. It's walkable. It's a really interesting, accessible space where you are, right?
It is. It's a 10:30 comm out directly across from BU.
Okay. All right.
BU West.
BU West. All right. So it's great. It's there. I hadn't even thought about the light. So that's a reason alone to go see it, because there aren't any other ones with light in Massachusetts, unless it comes from the ceiling, I guess. So, okay. So that's how you kind of are into it. You're there now. Natalie and Christine, people were coming to cannabis for all sorts of reasons. Can you just sort of like tell me why you thought working in a cannabis dispensary would be a great idea? And maybe like what was your family's reaction when you chose this career path, I guess? Who wants to start?
Christine, you want to go? Yeah, I'll start. So I come from the healthcare industry. I worked at Boston Medical Center for almost 2 years before moving to cannabis. I have a psychology degree. I went to UMass Boston and graduated in 2016. So the reason that I really wanted to get into cannabis, I was always into cannabis, but the main reason was when my dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was 17 years old. And I had done a lot of like research myself into Rick Simpson oil and that kind of thing. But back in 2017, it was 2012 at the time. So, and I was 17 years old and I was trying to yell at the Dana-Farber doctors and say, you guys had to try this. No one wanted to hear what I had to say. There was still a lot more stigma back then.
That was before anything. That was 2016 is when we voted for adult use. So
So it was like, I was kind of looked at as a crazy teenager, like, you know what I mean? Trying to do all these experiments on their dad. But I had watched the Rick Simpson documentary and kind of educated myself. I even did a presentation in class about it. And for end of life care, they use a lot of heavy narcotics and medications that don't really make the person like how they are. So yeah, a big reason was for me was that my dad, he passed from cancer and cannabis helps him towards the end a lot more than like some of those other drugs that kind of just put you out.
So my mother passed a few years ago. She thought I was in a drug cartel to the day she passed. I tried to introduce cannabis in some way to help her and she got mad at me because she thought it created her dementia. But I hear these stories a lot. So as a 17-year-old, you were able to work with your father within a medical to help find him. That's really impressive. How did he come to this? It's hard to change anyone's mind. How did you do it?
I didn't have to change his mind. He was into cannabis long before.
Oh, he already was. Okay.
Yeah. It was my mother that kind of like the whole drug cartel thing. She was like, so it was kind of harder to get her on board. But he was on board, so I didn't have to change any minds. He was happy to be able to use cannabis.
But you were validating him. Well, that's a really interesting story. All right, I could talk about that forever. All right, so your why is that a lot of the women I find are coming into this is because they've healed somebody, like literally, and they're kind of pissed. This is what I keep saying now. They healed somebody, they were evangelized, and now they're pissed that this didn't exist, so they become the people they needed. So you're like one of those ladies. All right, that's
good. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
All right. So Natalie, how did you come into this?
I would say I have a similar story, only I was the one who was helped. I was raised by a very, I would say, alternative type of woman. My mother was a punk from the 70s. And my way of rebelling against her as a teenager, I guess, was to be straight edged and straight laced and do everything that the opposite of how she operated. And
human psychology is crazy.
Yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to do the opposite. That was how I did it. And I was also diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 22 months old. So I had been on pharmaceutical medication for my entire life.
Oh, wow.
And that comes with its own heavy list of side effects. Most medications do. And when I was 22, I started experiencing migraines as a side effect of one of these medications, and they were horrendous and lasted months at a time. And I went to neurologists and all of these doctors, and at the end of it,
the best that they could offer me was to offer me another medication to combat the side effects, the medication that I was already on.
Right.
And my pot smoking mother from the 70s finally had had enough and just basically broke down and begged me to try this because she just couldn't take watching me go through this anymore. And I don't know if it was because I was at the end of my rope or seeing the way that she, how desperate she was, but I relented. I tried it. She was my very first dealer. She went out and found it for me and brought it home, rolled it up, and I smoked it and immediately felt relief.
What year was this? Natalie, what year was it?
This was from 2014.
That's still before. Yeah, okay.
No, this was probably 2013. It was definitely before.
Still early. Okay. So yes. Your mother was really, she didn't just go to dispensary. She had to find you. Okay.
She worked in the restaurant industry, so she had all kinds of connections. So she didn't have too much trouble. But she got it from me. I tried it. I immediately felt relief that I hadn't experienced in months. And I was immediately pissed. Because, like you said, not only did this medication help me, it was enjoyable to partake and there were no side effects from it. I was like, this is witchcraft. This is magic. Like, I've been on medication my entire life and you don't get relief without a cost. That is what I've been conditioned to believe. And
that's hard to hear, actually.
Yes. The cost of being on pharmaceuticals my entire life is you're constantly being monitored, your liver's being checked, you're at risk for all of these other potential diseases and shorter lifespans. And then there are the side effects that you could potentially encounter. And there's the list is long. And when I experienced cannabis for the first time, I was like, not only does this help me, it's fun, it's pleasant, and I don't feel horrible after I do it. And I did not know that was a possibility. And so my entire ideology, my entire world kind of was shifted on its head at that moment. And that's when things changed for me.
All right. Wow. That's got a whole nother show about that, too. All right. So I do want to talk about pregnancy and cannabis, but you both have really powerful whys. So can you just talk about, and maybe Francie wants to cheer in on this, too. People coming into your store, you're in a pretty urban area. I don't know who's coming in there. I'm sure you got a really wide variety of people who are showing up and need stuff or want stuff or don't know what they're asking for. So can you talk about what your experience was? So maybe finding something that made them feel better or something you thought couldn't happen or, do you tell people your own story and then they open? I don't know if you want to talk, everyone wants to share something that maybe that happened that they was a great success and they're like just, it kept them going because this cannabis industry is hard.
Yeah, no, I'll start. I have one of those recently. There was an older woman who had called the store looking for edibles. She was said she was going to come on in, and I happened to go on the floor when she did come in. And we were going through the options, tinctures for sleep edibles. And I said to her, the tincture, it's going to be a little bit on the pricier side. And she looked at me and she said, well, how much is a good night's sleep worth? And right there, I was like, okay, she's right. And she was actually able to come back. She came back a few days later and tried some other gummies because I told her everybody's different with what works and what doesn't. And I suggested that she tries things and she got the tincture and she came back in a few days later and loves the tincture. And I think she's probably going to be like one of those tincture customers now that comes in and buys them because she was like, I didn't need to use as much as I thought. I actually slept the whole night. She came in and was like, those fast acting gummies, they also leave your system quickly too. And so she was very knowledgeable. Wow. And I felt like I wasn't really able to give her the opportunity to get something, a product that works for her. So it made me feel really good.
And especially a tincture. So people don't necessarily like the way they taste. I do think they're a good, I honestly think they're a better first way to start if you don't want to smoke, just because it's so immediate in the way you take it. But the taste really puts people off, which is interesting. So,
but they yeah, no, well. Definitely.
And I do give them to my pets too, CBG. All right, Natalie, is there somebody you want to talk about or a success story or something that happened that you want to share? Kept you going for a few more days?
Yeah. Mine, I actually think about often. It was when I first got into the cannabis industry, 6 years ago, I was working in on the medical side of things. And this was one of my first weeks being a bud tender. And a gentleman came in, he had
Parkinson's. And I will never forget, he had this special belt on either side of it. There were loops that were meant to be held as support by two people to help him walk. Mm-hmm. I helped him, me and another bartender helped him walk up to the counter. He got his medicine. He left. And about a week or two later, he came back in. And I remember he didn't need help walking. His tremors that were so prevalent the first time he came in that made him at great risk for falling, and it's why he needed people there to spot him, were so much better controlled that he was able to come through the front door and walk up to the counter without assistance. And ended up speaking to him that time. I was his bartender, so I got to ask him questions. And he said that it was a direct result of his cannabis use. And that has kind of always stayed with me. Just like, he's somebody with Parkinson's. He's probably being prescribed every medication that they can think of to try and control those tremors. And it's not working. And here is a simple plant that someone grew and gave to him, and he's able to now walk in of his own free will. That, just the power of cannabis, I guess, when looked at that way, has never left me. I think it is amazing.
It's powerful. Yeah. Healing is powerful. And Francie, so I don't know how often you're in the store, who you're talking to, you're bringing friends in. Do you have any stories about people you thought this could work for and it helped them in a way that you didn't expect?
I think that always happens. Everyone, by the time they think of cannabis, people are really at their wits' end. This is such a simple solution. It doesn't take a lot of time. There are multiple ways of ingesting it. And no matter what your problem is, there seems to be a really simple answer, and it's always cannabis. It's pain relief. It's mood enhancing. It's a way to sleep. As we age, sleep becomes a premium. And I can sleep all night with dream drops. If my muscles are stiff, there's a hemp rub that you can put on your skin, mm-hmm. and everything loosens up. It's a one-stop answer, and all you have to do is try it. It's not.
But you have to try good products. This is the other thing about cannabis, specifically, but cannabis also. And Massachusetts isn't like New York, where there are like a 5 billion illicit shops up. I don't know what's going there, but in Massachusetts, if you go into a licensed dispensary, all those products are tested. You know what's in it, and especially for something that's CBD, I know you can buy it anywhere now. You don't know what's in it.
It's amazing.
So, yeah.
It's amazing how I always have considered Massachusetts a very conservative place. We have opened our arms to it in a way that I did not expect to see at the very beginning. I thought it would take a lot more time for people to realize what a wonderful product it is, and how many different variations there are. There's a cannabis product for everyone.
And these stories, I see it's these ladies' stories, because again, it is ridiculously hard to change anybody's mind. And for so long, we believed this was so dangerous. You had to go to jail for it, especially women my age and older who just cannot believe this. We could sip our alcohol, but the idea of smoking a joint was so foreign to us. But the stories are really changing people's hearts and minds. These like individual stories, I see them a lot, which comes to parenting and cannabis and pregnancy and a lot of things I talk about a lot on this show. So very controversial. I have had the past two guests have talked about having children's services intervention when they were discovered to have been using cannabis, but they also talked about how it was the only thing that kept their nausea away and that made them stay off medication. So I know, Natalie, you were on a lot of medications for most of your life. You are a mom now, right?
Yes, I am. I have an almost 2-year-old daughter.
And during your pregnancy, I don't know, there must have been some medical issues. So how did you handle that issue? And did you talk to your medical professionals about it? And were there any repercussions from it, I guess?
So My situation, I was lucky enough to not have to encounter situations like your previous two guests. And it's because of one of your previous guests that I actually did it. I ended up going to a cannabis school that was run at the time by Kara Burnham. And I have followed her ever since. And she wrote an article when she was pregnant with her first child about everything she went through getting the laws changed at Brigham and Women's Hospital so that they no longer test mothers for or children, their children for cannabis. After reading her article, I chose to go to that hospital. I actually ended up using her same doctor. Oh, wow. And so I was lucky and fortunate to have a very pleasant experience. But I know without a fact that I would not have survived my pregnancy without cannabis. I, in addition to having rheumatoid arthritis, I suffer from anxiety and depression. And I also ended up being diagnosed with hyperemesis gravidare when I was pregnant, which if anyone who's experienced it can tell you, it's basically like having food poisoning every day for almost 10 months. You vomit constantly and it doesn't go away. I lost 50 pounds while I was pregnant. Yeah. It was bad, and that was while using cannabis. And if I hadn't been using cannabis, it would have been a lot more because it was the only thing that gave me an appetite, made me even want to consider eating food. So because of Kara, yeah, I has a very fortunate birth story where like I didn't get a lot of intervention. I was able to be very honest with my healthcare provider about what I was doing. She made a conscious we together after talking about it. She didn't put it in my notes because as Kara said on your most recent show, once that becomes part of your medical record, it never leaves. So that was something that kind of she just kept informally between the two of us. And that's something that I wish it didn't have to be that way. I wish I could say that in my medical record so there's full transparency with all of my subsequent doctors, and I won't be penalized for it or made to be less of a mother or that I was intentionally harming my child and all of these fears that women who use cannabis while they're pregnant have.
And the flip side is we can't, I say this a lot, we can't study it. How are you going to know? We don't even know what the harm is. They test for the harm. It's child endangerment, but we don't know what the harm is. Exactly. We know what the harm of alcohol is. We know what the harm of other pharmaceuticals is, but we don't even know what the harm is. And we refuse to even allow women to talk about this who are using it so we can take data and see how their kids are. Like, how's your kid?
Perfect. Perfect. She's brilliant. She's reached all her milestones, if not ahead of time, on time. She's thriving and happy. And I survived my pregnancy because of cannabis. And I know for a fact that she's here happy and healthy today, thanks in part to that.
And it is interesting, like the one woman changed the policy at one hospital. So there's a whole generation of women now who are going through that one hospital. But again, one hospital in Massachusetts, and Kara is literally going through the same exact thing in a different part of the state now. It's unconscionable, seriously.
But really is.
All right. So on the other side, I want to talk more a little bit about like what advice we can talk amongst all three of us about what advice you would like to give moms who want to consume cannabis or like want to find more information and whatever else is going on at ComEv Canada for the exciting 420 and the marathon, the Boston Marathon. You got a lot of stuff going on. So we will be back with Francie, Natalie, and Christine to talk more about all the cannabis trends and to find out what they're doing on 420 after we speak with Jenna Goldman, founder of High Confectionery in New York. Welcome.
Hi, guys. So nice to meet you all as well. Your stories are really inspiring. And I actually just had a baby myself. So there's a lot of crossover with what, Natalie, you were kind of talking about and things that I experienced too. So I feel you on all that.
And you're in New York. It's even newer there, which is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's Wild West. So.
Wild West. All right, let's talk about your gummy. Talk about your business you have, and we talk about low dose. I get frustrated out here because everything high dose, high dose, high dose. And I know my friends are looking for something that's a little bit different, and you're sort of venturing into that market. So let's tell me about what you're doing.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I actually created like cannabis and hemp products for new moms. I started the company before I even was pregnant. And I'm from California. So for me, cannabis has been like, quote unquote, legal my entire life, even though it wasn't actually legal until I was a bit older. but it was around a lot. It didn't have the same stigma that I think some of the East Coast states are still battling. And I've been consuming it for a very long time. I was never a big drinker, but I never got a high tolerance. And I think a lot of people say the more you consume it, the higher your tolerance gets. And I never really had that experience. And so many products on the market, especially in the edible space, I was always kind of cutting up and playing this guessing game of, am I going to like be stuck on my couch? Am I going to have anxiety? And I use this to help my anxiety. So it wasn't helpful when I would have these kind of crazy experiences. And then I also didn't love some of the ingredients. Like, I'm not a vegan, but a lot of my friends are. I didn't like all this food blue dye 7 that you find in gummies. I wanted to create something. It's a plant and it's from the earth. And so I wanted to kind of maintain that ethos as best as I can. And so I created 1 milligram gummies that essentially are modeled after my favorite candy, which is Sour Patch Kids. So they taste amazing and you can eat more than one. And they're all, depending on the state, like we used to do live rosin in California. Now we're live resin, but they're strain specific. You can really kind of pick and choose what you want to feel. And the interesting thing is, after I had a baby and I was breastfeeding, and this kind of ties into what you guys have been talking about with no research, like I had really bad postpartum depression. And I was so anxious, like I couldn't sleep. It was my first child. And there was no data or research around whether you can and it's funny because there's so much research around like alcohol. And so I did my own research and kind of came up with like what I thought would be okay. And like I had to take it to sleep, like I couldn't sleep. And so it's funny because I feel like I created this product that I ended up using so much myself after I had the baby to help me sleep and to help my anxiety like calm down so I could be a good mom. And now that I'm done breastfeeding and I'm just a parent, I still take it to sleep because you're always worrying about something with your kid. But yeah, it's been great because so many new moms that are people that I never in my lifetime think would consume a cannabis product, I've been like, try one gummy. Like I know that they might not feel much from that, right? Like they're not going to feel high, but like it kind of breaks down the barrier for them to get comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And so they have one and they're like, okay, like I felt a little bit relaxed. Like maybe next time I'm going to have two. And I get these emails and messages from people that were like, I've never had THC in my life. I never thought I would consume it, but this has like actually helped me with pain or helped me with sleep or helped me with stress. And I think the more of us that can kind of get out there and tell our stories and the more products that like women can create, the more the industry is going to grow because as moms, like we have so much responsibility and with that comes anxiety and comes lack of sleep. And then I can't take the risk of sleeping like through my son crying in the morning because I took such a potent edible or such a potent tincture. Like I really
Or sleep aid.
Totally. Like, yeah, like an Ambien or a Xanax, all these things that people take. It's like, for some reason, some of those are okay, but like this isn't. And it never made sense. But like you need to be in control. You need to wake up alert. And so I found that creating products that are such small doses that you can kind of customize because everyone's so different has been really successful, and especially with moms. So
makes it very accessible. So again, in my day, I could talk about being a wine mom. Nobody talked publicly about being a canna mom. But now it is very women like you, people who who knows what you're using, but you're talking about it in a normal way. It's not scary. These are products that are safe. You're sharing your stories. And I assumed I had to feel shitty all the time. I think women of my generation would like, you take pharmaceuticals, you drink alcohol, you feel shitty. And this is an option, which people often come to, my generation specifically, as a last resort. And you're doing this right from the beginning and showing that it can be something you don't have to. And I like your idea of being slow.
Yeah.
The idea that sometimes you don't even know you're feeling anxious until you aren't feeling anxious anymore. So that idea of just introducing into your life so you like your kids better and they seem funny and they're not irritating you. I think it's like magic.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's magic. And I think that I wish more people tried it. Like my mission is really with low-dose stuff is like to get as many people who are kind of on the fence of like, I'm not going to like it. I tried a brownie in college and I had this crazy experience and it was too strong. And it's like, that's not how it has to be. And the thing with pharmaceuticals is that we take like, yes, there's a time and place for those. And like sometimes they serve a purpose. I'm not knocking them. But I just think like the purest thing you can get is something that is grown in the earth and it's from the ground and it's from nature. And I have so many people that eat so clean and are so healthy and exercise, but then take these pharmaceuticals. And I'm like, there's an alternative out there that is actually the most natural thing you can find that doesn't have the side effects and you really may have a better experience with. And so I'm just trying to kind of get the word out there and create this like easy entry product for people to kind of get them to figure out what works for them.
And it's the stories are very powerful. The story we were told is very powerful. I mean, it's very powerful. So you are really creating a new narrative. People always say to me, I don't want to get high. And I have to ask them what they mean. People aren't even quite sure what they mean. They're just a little bit scared of something they don't know. So when I say psychoactive, I mean, it changes your mood and behavior. And moms, sometimes your mood and behavior need to be changed.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. So they give it that way. All right. So we should get back to our other guests. So Jenna, tell me, how do people find the High Confectionery? Are they only in dispensaries? Are you selling anything interstate commerce? How's this working?
Both. So we're in a few stores. We're in about like 68 stores that are all over the country. And then you can also buy us online. So we have both like a cannabis business, but then also hemp. And all of our hemp is organically farmed, strain specific, tested, like all the same standards. I've been in kind of the hemp space and the cannabis space, and I took all the exact same standards that are applied in the cannabis space and put them into my hemp products. So child safe packaging, which is not required but should be, but it's required in the cannabis, multiple lab testing for everything from potency to pesticides, like the same standards. So the products, all the test results are online. And the hard thing for me is in that kind of segment, like you said, New York City has hundreds, thousands of these sketchy shops with no testing and copyright infringement, like fake Skittles, and it ruins it for the people that are doing it correctly. And it's not good and it should be regulated. So you can buy my stuff in stores or online and it ships directly to your house, but I require a 21 plus signature because I don't want it getting in the hands of anyone who's not of age. I have kids, I get it. So yeah, for anyone who wants to try it. And by the way, I'll send you guys all some so you can try it yourself.
All right. But again, women, I say this should be our industry. All the rules are made up anyways. We can have women leader doing things differently. It doesn't have to look like everything else. And here's a woman leader who figured out it worked for her, became the person she needed, created the product she needed. And now she has a business where she's really doing integrity because, again, anything with hemp is really, you almost need to know who your farmer is. I mean, it's a little scary out there. Yeah, you need, and then you know that it works, because if you try a CBD product that isn't good and you think it doesn't work, and then you're going to miss out on the benefits of it for real. So just one more time, give me your website and how people can.
Yeah, it's just thehighconfectionery.com. Check it out. And if you guys want to use a promo code to any listeners, if you put welcome10, you'll get 10% off. But anyone who tries it, please write us. We love to hear feedback. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. All right, ladies. All right, we are back. We got a couple more minutes. All right. So again, moms experiencing this, I don't know if that's an issue of people coming into the store talking to you. Are you giving anyone advice besides follow Kara and to figure out where to go and have your baby? Or do you have any like groups setting up in the dispensaries or anything you're talking about to help moms who may want to incorporate this into their lives but not quite sure how?
I think it's primarily due to the stigma that still exists, but you don't see a lot of heavily pregnant women in dispensaries. It's usually women who have just had babies or their children are a few years old. I would love to be able to share my story with like a woman who walks in fully pregnant and is unafraid of what all the eyes on her are thinking, because that's still a very real thing. But right now it's mostly just platforms like this taking the opportunity when I meet people to share my story and get it out there to as many people as I can to hopefully change some life.
All right. Well, if you're in the Boston area and you're looking for some place to go that's family friendly, check her out. Go up and check and ask for Natalie, because she will talk to you about this. All right. Let's just go back to the store. 420 is coming up. The marathon is coming up. I don't know who wants to take this. Are you guys doing anything special? Is there any events coming up? Something you want to plug? Stuff that's, I don't know, interesting?
Yeah, absolutely. We are heavy in 420 planning mode right now. We are we're going to have giveaways, doorbusters, special going on that day, most likely the entire week leading up to it as well. So stay tuned and keep checking us out, and definitely stop by the week of 420.
And anything I do, I think, come out from the marathon, anyone You setting up shop?
We have one sales. We have a sales associate who is a senior at BU, and he gave us a little bit of a heads up of what the students in the parties happen on Marathon Monday. So we're still working out what we're going to do, but that's going to be like the start of the 420 week. And we're just going to run the specials throughout the whole week. I think we should do something special for the runners and the people who do run. I mean, that would be a great thing too. So.
Is that something people, well, that should be interesting. That's a whole nother topic. Like marathoners, runners, athletes use cannabis for, yeah. Are you talking to people about that at all? Is that a thing?
Yeah, actually, yeah. There's been some customers coming in and mostly for topicals. Some of the people who run the marathon will not smoke as much. Yeah, but the topicals, they help a ton with the joints and practicing running. So.
Oh, yeah. I even thought about that. Yeah. Just like the relief of it all. Not even like, okay. All right. Just maybe some last words of wisdom. I go back to Francie. You've been doing this for how long has the shop been open? A year? Over a year?
6 months.
6 months. Not even it. Okay.
5 years. Mm-hmm. Five years in the works.
5 years in the works, 6 months opening. I don't know. What do you want to, give some like a little plug for it? Do you want to talk about something great that you didn't expect to happen? I want to keep it all positive because I know there's lots of crazy stuff that happened to get there.
I don't know even where to start. It's such an unusual business that it's a very steep learning curve. Everything is so highly regulated. Everything is it's almost like they wanted us to fail.
Oh, yeah, they did it like
Plutonio.
They make
it so hard to do business. Mm-hmm. We're not even allowed to take our own deposits to the bank. We aren't. You don't touch things. You have to just be very, very conscious of the rules. And there are so many of them that it's overwhelming at the very beginning. I was very surprised.
The compliance. We treat it like plutonium. It's an entirely compliant industry. Just the idea that I was excited that you had windows, that's weird. You know what I mean? Like, why can't we look in? And even with the mom thing, I talk about this sometimes. You can't bring your children to work. And if you own a dispensary, you can't bring your child into work. And if your childcare falls through or something happens, I have friends who literally have rented additional spaces. So that's on top of all the other costs you have. Or their children have to go use the bathroom somewhere on the street where they're working because they can't come into the dispensary. So
yes,
these are policy issues. And again, I'm going down to Washington, but these are things that the people who are making the rules, maybe intentionally, they did make it as hard as possible. But now it's a business. This is patriotic. This is American made. This is something that we should be supporting because small businesses support this idea that we can grow these small businesses. So we have to make the policies shifted based on real life experience that you guys are having. Yeah.
I mean, we've changed the laws in this state, but we still treat it like it's a Schedule I drug, even though we have allowed people to consume and we've created a business model around it. We still treat it that way, and that has to change.
Oh, yeah. So, and again, it's ridiculously hard to change people's hearts and minds. I think stories are really the way that we're doing it. And you can see, even Francie said earlier, it changed faster than she thought. I grew up in Boston. I didn't know everyone was on the pot. I had no idea it was going to pass in 2016. I was surprised, honestly. And then when I started talking about it, everybody used it. Everybody had somebody who found it to use it for something. And it just, nobody was talking about it. So it seemed really scary. So I think we're changing it faster than you think, maybe. But the rules are having a hard time catching up. And I don't know how to change that except to keep talking about it and trying to get them to treat it like a regular business. Because that's what we are. And we're good. Like, we could save the country, don't you think?
We can definitely make people in a better mood at the very least.
We can make everyone be a little bit happier. And I think that would help all of us.
It's a fun place to work. It's just so, people are so excited about cannabis. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of it being negative and a drug and all of this is just so overblown and so wrong. We've spoken about it. It offers so many alternatives to the drug industry. And I think that they may, in fact, be our worst enemy. They would be. We take away from them.
Yeah. And that is the Schedule III argument. I understand it. I hear it. That if it goes to Schedule III, it'll be all pharmaceutical. It's a whole other discussion. I can't change any of this. I do a podcast in my daughter's bedroom. All right. But we do think that hemp will save the world. it. You can eat it. You can wear it. You can smoke it. You can grow it. You can clean the soil with it. You can take all these products that are made with oil, use it for hemp. I heard a whole story about concrete the other day. You can make hempcrete. It's wrong for it to be so demonized. We live in the anomaly of history. I say this every show. 100 years. It's been traumatized and demonized for 100 years. But for most of human history, it was just one thing that we had in our toolbox. And we should bring it back because it's good for us. And these women across the country, around the world, are doing it. They're really doing it. All of you are becoming the women you needed. And we're pioneers. So think of yourself as that. And we're going to, you know, somehow we're going to fix this. All right, everyone, just tell me, I guess, Francie, Christine, Natalie, to say what's the best way to connect with you and anything else you want to add is a so long message.
Sure. Okay. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, any of those platforms. I would be happy to connect. Feel free to shoot me a message if you have any questions.
So Francie, how to get in touch with you?
Francie, you'd call me off Cannon.
Okay. Are you there? Are you at the shop?
I'm in and out. I don't have the skills to be a bud tender. I do better behind the scenes. I bake probably 400 or 500 cookies every week for the store. I make sure that non-THC cookies.
I was about to say, I'm like,
and they're always, you know, they're always
is that,
right outside.
Is that John over there? Does he want to say hi?
Yes. I have Mr. Wonderful on my right, as always. And I just make sure that the store is stocked.
And it looks beautiful.
With all the non-cannabis items that it takes, you know, to run a regular business. My son Garrett is in the store.
Right.
John is either in the store or at home doing book work and keeping us afloat. And my oldest son, JB, is a buyer for Merrimed. And he's head of sales at Merrimed. And so he makes a plethora of products that people don't see often, small batches, and our delivery schedule is phenomenal because of him. He finds us, Christine, what has he found for you that you like?
He finds what the customers need and what the customers want based on me and Natalie kind of giving him the feedback, and his buying has been actually phenomenal and right on point.
And it is another thing that's very unique about your store is the way you display your flower. I didn't even talk about that. These are beautiful plants. I just finished my first real harvest. I have pictures up on Instagram, but they're crystalline things. And when you go into the store, you can have a magnification of the actual bud. So you can see what it looks like, because honestly, people don't even know it's a pretty flower. So that's like another unusual thing about the ComEv dispensary, the way they display things, and there's natural light.
Right. Yeah, we have we got microscope stations. We call it like a consumer education station. So we can go on over there and move the microscopes over the nose of weed, and you can see it on the TV screen. So it's really magnified. Right. Yeah. And customers love that. Actually, a lot of our sales are flower, and it's based on customers actually picking out right magnified. They're like, I want that nug. And that's the weed they end up buying.
It looks beautiful. All right. And one more. And Natalie, how do people get in touch with you?
Reach me on LinkedIn or Natalie at ComEvDNA.
All right. That's a show. A little over, but thank you. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Francie. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
That was another show. So one more show for my guest and, of course, my Cannabro and our Cannamom Show team. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Cannamom Show, where we're on a mission to enhance the impact women have on the emerging cannabis industry by sharing and preserving their stories of love, kindness, wisdom, and hope. Thank you for sharing and following the amazing stories of the women building this new industry so that together we'll crush that stigma around cannabis and caregivers. I'm your host, Joyce Gerber. This is The Cannamom Show, and we are a production of Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast, The Talking Hedge, and newest member on PodConX. So come on over and check out The Talking Hedge. We talk about business news, interviews, investments, events, all that stuff. So come nerd out with me over at The Talking Hedge. You can find me at the Talking Hedge cannabismarketsanalyst.podcast.com or on all your favorite podcast platforms. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out.